And regardless of who you are, what your age is, or anything else, if you are totally committed to the Lord, you can make a difference in this world. Is that me going off? What am I doing? Nothing? Okay. Virginia and Renee and Tim and I went to Japan in 1965. My biggest concern when I went to Japan was not that I'd starve to death. I had pastored in Kentucky, so I knew God would feed me. It was not thinking I'm going away. I won't never see none of them. But my biggest fear was trying to learn the Japanese language. I had committed my life to be a missionary. When I was associate pastor of the Calvary Baptist Church in Harvey, Illinois, I knew God wanted me to be a missionary before that, but that's where God laid on my heart, where I was to go and when I was to go and so forth. And one of our men was an insurance agent, and so he would go around and collect insurance. Remember when the insurance people came around collecting the insurance? Few of you do. You're old enough. You ought to remember it, okay? But anyway, he was telling some people, hey, we got a man in our church that's committed his life to go to Japan as a missionary. And lady said, well, we've got a Japanese Bible, and we don't even know where we've got it or how, why we've got it. Said, why don't you take this to him? And they brought me that Japanese Bible. I wish they hadn't, okay? Because I looked at that Bible, and there was nothing in it that resembled a word. Nothing. It looked like the chickens had been out on a muddy field and they'd walked on paper and they put all those papers together. And I looked at that Bible and I looked toward the Lord and I said, Lord, I'm from Kentucky. We have a very difficult time with English. And you expect me to learn a language like that? And several of my colleagues and so forth, they tried to get me to go somewhere where they spoke English. And I thought that'd be a good idea, but it's not what God wanted me to do. Anyway, we went to Japan, got in language school, and about a month after I started language school, all of a sudden I realized all of my fears were justified. It was just as difficult as I ever dreamed it would be. Now, when I was there for about 9 months one time, I wrote out a sermon. I read it to my teacher. I read it to my wife. I read it to my children. I read it over and over again. And one Sunday night, it's just a little group of people, maybe 20, 25 people, something like that. And I had a little kerosene heater in the room, and the room got stuffy, and I lost my place in my sermon. And it was a horrible experience. And after I got through preaching, one of the Japanese prayed, Dear Lord, we love Brother Sis, but we didn't understand anything he said. And so I didn't try to preach again until I'd been there a year and a half. Okay, and then that was better. But one of the things that I was amazed right away, how many of you have ever been to Japan? Lift your hand. Anybody? Yeah, a few, several of you. Good, good. And I noticed that every time somebody would tell you their name, they made a big deal about their name. And they would write it in the Japanese word, the kanjis, the Chinese characters. And it didn't mean a thing to me, but once you learn the characters, you know. And all of their names had a meaning. You know, like somebody would be named Nakajima. And Naka means middle, and Jima means a island. So he's the middle island. Somebody asked my name, Ogawa. If it's a long O, Ogawa, that means a big mountain, or a big river. And Ogawa, short O, means a little river, okay? I saw one time, it said, Okuchi, big mouth. I don't know if that's the way they pronounce their name or not, but that's exactly where it came out. So I began to think, I wonder I wonder if my name means anything. Now, when you go to Japan, they put your name in Japanese syllables. And my name became Don Shisaku. And I thought, I'm going to look up the word Don in Shisaku and see if I can find out what it means. So I looked up the word Don, and when I did, I was quite embarrassed. Because the word Don means slow to learn or stupid. Now, my parents did not know Japanese when they named me, okay? And I thought, okay, maybe my last name has a better meaning. So I looked for the word Shisuku, but I found out it's not one word. She is a word, and suku is a word. So the word Shisuku, she means dead. So I thought, okay, I'm stupid and dead. And reluctantly, I looked up the word suku, and it's the root form of the verb for salvation. For instance, if I give my testimony in Japanese, I'd say, Watashi wa jūokusai toki sukuwaremashita. So when I introduce myself in Japan, I say, my name is Don Shisuku. I was stupid and dead, but now I'm saved. Amen. So you can remember my name, okay? Don Shisuku, stupid and dead, okay? Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 8, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 8. I have no words to express my appreciation for all of you people. Now, obviously, as I look around the building tonight, you haven't gotten the word. Everywhere I go, preachers are saying to me, well, brother says, people just won't come to church on Sunday night anymore. So evidently, nobody's told you you can't come to church on Sunday night. And by the way, I always tell them, yeah, if you don't have service, sure enough, they won't come. And they don't, okay. But where could you be better on a Sunday night than in the house of God, singing the song, listening to a beautiful solo, and then listening to a dumb, dead preacher preach, okay. What a great time I've had. I love it. I love your pastor. I love your staff members. I love everything about Worth Baptist Church. Matthew chapter 8. If you don't mind standing, let's do that, okay, to honor God's word. Matthew chapter 8, beginning with verse 1. Now, you know Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 is what we call the Sermon on the Mount. And the obvious reason for that is he was up on a mountain, okay? And look at verse 1. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, thank you for the Bible, the infallible, inerrant, inspired word of God. We don't doubt it. We don't question it. We believe it from the depth of our heart. We've tried to preach it all these years. Now, you promise you'll bless your word. When it goes forth, it'll not return to me void. Lord, I stand upon that promise tonight. Now, I pray that we're going to have a wonderful time here tonight, not just with the singing and preaching, but the after service is going to be wonderful. Now, Lord, help us to think about the scripture that I read tonight and help us to be receptive to whatever you say to us. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. I want you tonight to think about three real simple things. I want us to listen. Number one, I want us to listen to the leper. And number two, I want us to listen to Jesus Christ. Okay? And then number three, I want us to listen to our heart. What our heart says to us tonight. Now, The Bible teaches us that leprosy is typical of sin. Okay? When somebody contacted and was diagnosed with leprosy, they were separated from everybody else. And there was no cure other than divine intervention. There was no hope for the leper. And by the way, the entire world, all 8 billion people on planet Earth, are infected by sin. And there is only one hope for them, and that is divine intervention. So leprosy, typical of sin. He had obviously heard about Jesus, this leper. Because notice what he said, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. So evidently, this leper had heard about Jesus. And the Bible tells us, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, not only had he heard about Jesus, but he believed that Jesus could help him. You remember when the man brought his son to the Lord, and he possessed with demons and so forth, and the father said, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Remember what Jesus said? If thou canst believe, all things are possible. In other words, you've got the if in the wrong place. Okay. So this leper evidently had heard about Jesus, and he believed that Jesus could heal him. Listen to Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So this leper had faith, and he believed that Jesus could heal him. By the way, he overcame some obstacles. He wasn't even supposed to be around anybody, but evidently he was so determined that if I could get to Jesus, he could help me, that in spite of the fact that he was supposed to, if anybody got near him, he was supposed to cry out, unclean, unclean, unclean. And when they heard that, the people would scatter. But this leper came, fell at the feet of Jesus, and worshiped him. And listened to him. If thou canst, thou can make me clean. Could I emphasize tonight that in the planet Earth of 8 billion people, there are people all over the world. Maybe they've heard a little bit about Jesus. Maybe they've heard his name. But they know practically nothing about him. Now they're not crying and saying, please come over and help us. No. But we ought to realize they're lost and on their way to hell. We ought to listen to some voices. We ought to listen to the cry of the multitude of people. Come over into Macedonia and help us. We ought to listen to the voices from hell. Go tell my brethren that they don't come to this place. By the way, he didn't have any time for Jesus. He didn't care anything about anybody else getting saved till he died and went to hell. But when he died and went to hell, he said, tell them not to come here. Please tell them. We need to hear the cry from the Lord. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, secondly, listen to the Lord. Listen to the Lord. Look again at verse 3. And Jesus put forth his hand. Can you imagine that leper? Nobody had dared to touch him for a long time. Not his wife, not his children, not his friend, not anyone. And all of a sudden, he feels the hands of Jesus on him. I can only imagine the joy that leper had. And then listen to what he said. I will I will. By the way, when Jesus said, I will, it was not atypical of him at all. He has always been saying, I will. I will. Before God created man, before man even thought about sin, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the earth. In the counsel of God, God the Holy Spirit, God the Son, God the Father. Okay, I'm going to create man. And guess what? God knew that man would need a Savior one day. And Jesus said, I will. I'll leave heaven in all of its glory. And I'll go to the earth and I'll live as a servant. And I'll suffer and bleed and die. And I'll give my life so sinners can be saved. I will, I will, I will. And then one day Jesus left heaven. And all of that glory. And he came to this earth. He cared enough to get involved. In eternity past, Jesus said, I will. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ said, I will. And he was born of the Virgin Mary as a baby. Imagine. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the entire universe. And he becomes a baby in the womb of Mary. And he's born of the Virgin Mary. And he grows up just like any other child. And he suffers the things that all of us suffer. You remember when in the book of Hebrews, the writer was encouraging us to pray. And he said, we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with our infirmity, but was in all manner tempted even as we are. In other words, this Jesus left heaven in all of its glory and came as a servant, came as a baby and became a servant. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself of no reputation and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. 2,000 years ago, he said, I will. In Gethsemane, Jesus said, I will. Listen to it. He took his disciples. He left most of them. Took Peter, James, and John. Then he went a little farther. And he fell on his face and prayed, saying, Oh, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Is Jesus fearful of suffering the pain? No. That's not it at all. It was something much bigger than that. Jesus knew that, now you think about this, all of the sins of the whole world was going to be placed upon him. It does not matter. You think of the worst sinner, the worst sin in the whole world, and all of those sins were put on Jesus Christ. He who knew no sin became sin for us. Now, thank God, he did not become a sinner, okay? But he became sin. The sin of the whole world was placed upon him, and Jesus knew that. And he knew that his Father was going to turn his face from him because God is a holy God and he cannot look upon sin. Father, if it be possible, if there's any other way to save Don Sisk, if there's any other way, and you call your name, if there's any other way for them to be saved, then let this cup pass from me. And then he ends the prayer. And by the way, he prayed that prayer 3 times. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy be done. You know what he's saying? I will. I will. Gethsemane is a place of unconditional surrender. Gethsemane is a place of total commitment. Have you ever had a Gethsemane? Has there ever been a time and a place in your life? This would be a good night to do that. When you'd be willing to say to God, "Dear God, whatever. This is maybe what I'd like to do. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." I have heard your pastor pray every night I've been here. "Dear God, speak to our hearts tonight." And somewhere in that prayer, he would say, "My yes is on the table. My yes is on the table. It does not matter what you say to me. I'm going to do exactly what you want me to do. My yes is on the table." Gethsemane is a place of unconditional surrender, a place of total commitment. On the cross, as Jesus was dying, he said, "I will." Luke 23:42-43 says, there was two thieves died, one on each side of Jesus. One of them said, "Lord, if you're God, then come down from the cross, save yourself and save us," and so forth. The other one somehow got a hold of what was happening. And he said to the man, you and I, we're receiving exactly what we deserve. We deserve to be crucified. This man has done nothing wrong." He recognized that Jesus was dying for sinners. You say, "How do you know that?" I don't know how he knew it, but thank God I know he knew it. And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said, "Well, if you'll join the church and be baptized, I will. You know, if you'll tithe and give the faith promise," and by the way, you ought to do both of those, okay? But if you'll, no. The thief simply said, "Lord, when thou comest into thy kingdom, remember me." And Jesus said unto him, "I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." "I will. Oh, yeah, I'll save you." And that sinner got saved. By the way, I'm glad he got saved. He couldn't get baptized. He couldn't join the church. He couldn't give any money and anything, but he got saved. Now, I'm glad for that. I preached in Muhlenberg County in Kentucky one time, and I was preaching on the radio. And after I got through preaching, the manager of the station said, "Mr. Schiff said, there's a lady on the line, and she wants to speak to you." And I thought, and you know, this is a common thing. Well, you know, some lady has listened to my sermon. She really liked it, so she wants to tell me how good it was. And I picked up the phone. I said, "Don says," and she said, "I wish you dumb Baptists would read your Bible sometime." And I said, "Well, we do occasionally, okay." And then she said, "Jesus did not say that thief was going to be in heaven. Jesus said, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise." And I said, "Lady, you are 100% right. But Jesus said, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. And if he's there, that's heaven." Amen. Now, I'm glad that there was one person that we know of that never got baptized, never tithed, never gave his faith promise. And I've had people say to me, "Well, you know, baptism is not necessary." And then they say, "The thief on the cross, he didn't get baptized." And I always say to them, "Are you a thief on the cross? If you are, you don't need to be baptized. If you're not, you ought to be baptized." Amen. Okay. On the cross, Jesus said, "I will." And by the way, no one comes to him with a broken heart, sorry that they're sinners, and ask him to save them, and had been rejected by him. It doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter how bad you've been. Jesus will say to you, I will. I will. Now, listen to your heart. Listen to your heart. I wonder if there's not somebody listening online. Maybe somebody in this building that will say tonight, I will trust that Jesus as my Savior. You can do that tonight. Thank God for the Word of God. I love Romans 6:23. You say, well, you must love it. You've said it every night. Okay. That's okay. If I preach 1,000 times, I'd probably say it 1,000 times. But listen to it. The wages of sin is death. That's what I deserve. Now, every once in a while, I hear some dumb person make a statement like that. All I want is what I deserve. And I always say, no, you don't either. The wages of sin is death. That's what I deserve. I'm a sinner. We're all sinners. And we deserve to die and go to hell because of that sin. The wages of sin is death. That's what we deserve. And there is a conjunction in there. But, and aren't you glad for that? That's a great conjunction. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Not something you buy, not something you work for. It's a gift. Now, when you're offered a gift, you either have to receive it or reject it. And it's a wonderful thing. I don't know how many hundreds of times I've said to somebody, now Jesus wants to give you eternal life. And if you will receive it today, you can be saved. And I've seen so many of them just trust Christ as their Savior. It's a gift of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, don't say no to him another time. Tonight, say, I will. I will. And by the way, he'll say to you, I will too. Amen. I will obey him. I will do as his mother said, whatsoever he saith unto thee, do it. Whatever Jesus says to you, do it. I will obey him. I will be baptized. Now, I've heard people say, well, I'm praying about being baptized. You're wasting your time. You don't have to pray about being baptized. Jesus said, do it. Okay? So I will. If you're here tonight and you've trusted Christ as your Savior and you've never been baptized, you ought to say tonight, I will be baptized. I will be baptized. I will become a member of a good New Testament church. And if you live in this area, I've got a church I can recommend to you, okay? You say, well, you know, you don't have to be a church member to be saved. You're right, you don't have to be a church member to be saved. And by the way, you don't even have to be a Baptist to be saved. Now, you'll have to tell God why you wasn't one, okay? But I will, I will. If you've never united with a good church, then this should be the night when you do that. I will. I will. I will tithe. Again, I've had people say to me, Brother, Sister, would you pray with me about tithing? And I always say, no. You're not praying about it. You're trying to talk God out of it. See, God's already said, do it. Okay. I will give to missions. And by the way, you say, well, I'm off the hook. I didn't make a commitment. But wait a minute. The reason for the goal was not just so we can make a goal, but it's so we can have more money so the missionaries can go to the mission field and preach the gospel and get people saved and start churches and train people. And the more you give, the more your church can do that. I will. I will go to the mission field. I will salvation. And by the way, I've had preachers, and now if I'm getting on somebody's toes, I'm just going to get on it anyway, amen? But I've had preachers, older preachers, to say sometimes to younger preachers, if you can do anything else, don't preach. Now, I don't say that. I say, if you can preach, don't even think about doing anything else, amen? I mean, if God wants you to be a preacher, say, I will. If God wants you in the mission field, that's the best place in the world for you. I've been contradicted for this statement, but people have a right to be wrong if they want to, okay? But I believe from the depth of my heart, the happiest place in the world is wherever God wants you. The safest place in the world is wherever God wants you. The most prosperous place in the world is wherever God wants you. Will you say, tonight, I will. I don't know what God's speaking to your heart about. That's not my business. But I believe in the depth of my heart, God is speaking to heart. And there would be a lot of people just get on this altar tonight and say, I will. I will. Listen to the hungry multitude. They're hurting. They're on the way to hell. Listen to Jesus. He is ready and willing to save all who would call on him. Listen to your heart. What's God speaking to you about tonight? Tonight, why don't you say, I will. I will. Let me give you a little something in closing, okay? Many people made their commitment this morning. Maybe some still need to make their commitment. But you think about this. Pastor, I think your church supports most missionaries for $100 a month. Is that right or not? Okay. Now you think about this. If you give $25 a week, if you increase your mission giving that much, or if you begin to give that much, that means that you are being responsible for a mission family. If you give $50 a week or you increase your giving by $50 a week, that means you're providing for the support for two missionaries. And it goes on and on. $75 a week, and that means you're supporting three missionaries. $100 a week, that will supply the means to support four missionary families. Don't say, well, we met our goal already. No, no, no. Hey, the more you give, and I know Worth Baptist Church, and I know Pastor Jelly, they're not going to keep any of this money here. Whatever you give, it's going to go out to a lost and dying world so they can get saved and hear the gospel. Let's pray together. Pastor.